So, quick introduction. James has already done that quite nicely. I am, in fact, Tom. He hasn't lied about that part. I wear a number of hats. I am a high school counselor now, having had the scarring, horrid experience of being a middle school counselor before that. So thank you that by the time we get to university, no one is wearing axe anymore. That is just blessed, like you would not believe. I do a few different things. Like I said, I work in the high school. I get to hang out with James because we're involved in chaplaincy stuff together. We're basically pastors who are doing stuff that isn't normal pastor kind of stuff. And so with that in mind, the other piece that I do is I am contracted to Emmanuel Church on the west side, and I am their counseling teaching pastor. So a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
And as James said, I'm a counselor at Okanagan Clinical Counseling in Kelowna. And that's what I do. also a mom of three young adults. So
yeah. Oh, and we're married.
Yeah.
Just in case there's
his dad.
Yeah. It's a thing. You know. Anyway. So talk a little bit about it. Apparently I have to say that you can't be spiritually mature unless you're emotionally mature. Now it's been said, so we got that covered. What we're gonna look at tonight actually totally does cover that. We are one of the things we do, like I said, we do some teaching with our church, and one thing we keep coming back to is from our position as counselors, we do see the importance of emotional health and how it is related to spiritual health. So there's this curriculum out there called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's got all the words in it, right? And so we've taught it for a number of years. We've made it a little bit our own. And so when James asked us to come and talk about the first F word, which is family, we thought it would be appropriate for us to bring some of the stuff from there so that you can actually, with our fancy schmancy worksheets, work through some of our family stuff. And so that's kind of our goal this evening. Oh, I'm doing the next part. I should see that it's a T, not a V. Okay. So the premise behind that is that we all come into the family of Jesus with a degree of brokenness, right? You know, wherever we are on our spiritual journeys, as we approach Jesus, we bring our family stuff with us, right? And by that I mean that we may have hurts. We may not even realize there's a certain way that we do stuff, and it's based on what we've grown up with and what we've just seen as normal. And so some of that stuff is things that we need to be aware of so that we can actually start the changing process.
So if you think about your family, and you know, every family is different, obviously, and but there's different values that you have in your family, and different things that are emphasized in your family. So if you could just take a couple of minutes and discuss at your table or someone beside you, and think about what was considered success in your family when you were growing up, and how did that impact you? So just take a couple of minutes and talk amongst yourselves. Okay, so if I could get your attention back up here. Would anybody like to share what success was like in their family, or what was the definition of success in your family? Just kind of yell it out, or
work hard.
Work hard, yeah.
Sports.
Mm-hmm. Good grades, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fail. Stability? Financial stability. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so these are all different values or different things that we bring to the table from our families.
Yeah. So, and with it, when we start approaching some of these things, we realize, you know, when we look at, like, you know, whether it was good grades or financial stability or don't fail, which, you know, kind of go with both of those, really, you're looking at things that are just family patterns or unspoken stuff with our family that maybe we're not completely aware of. A very harmless example, I remember the very first Christmas that Val and I were dating. I went up to Quesnel, which is where Val's from, and got up there for Christmas. Yeah, it was Christmas.
After Christmas.
And there was horror of horrors. They opened stockings on Christmas Eve. My world was rocked. That was not what you do, right? You know, so there's sometimes is that bit of that that's a fairly innocuous example. We weathered it, just so you know. But, you know, there is that push, you know, that says, like, we kind of come up with some tension stuff. And I didn't even realize that that was a family rule of mine until I hit something else that said otherwise, right? I'm still right. Well, that one.
But I think that's also important to note that often what you've experienced in your own family, you don't realize that maybe that's not the norm, or, you know, you get into someone else's family and you realize, oh, they do this differently. And
or even getting into a Christian community that maybe, you know, if you grew up in it, maybe your church did things one way and then now you're doing UCM stuff, move to a different town and it's different, you know. So there's a lot of that tension that can certainly be there. Is it still me? Okay. Sorry, we didn't get the transitions. Yeah, we're all good. Okay, so part of what we're going to do tonight is we are going to do a worksheet thing, and it's called the genogram. Has anybody here heard of a genogram before? Okay, a couple of you have. It's not that I'm wearing jeans, just to clarify. It's not a quartogram either, no. So what we're going to be doing is we are going to have you guys, we're going to guide you through this genogram. And it's the idea of it is to look back at your family of origin and become aware of patterns. Patterns that have maybe been repeated through generations. Some of them are healthy. Some of them, it's like, this is very positive. We want to see this. Some of them are not healthy. And by being able to look at this, it can help us to change the unhealthy patterns once we realize that they're there. Because if they're left unaware, there's a reasonable chance that we will not even know that they are things that we are propagating generation after generation.
So for an example, we can look at an example from the Bible with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And Tom and I have just spent January reading through the book of Genesis. And, you know, so today we enjoy the blessings of Abraham. But then there was a lot of negative stuff that happened in Abraham's family and his generations. Like, they were actually pretty messed up. Like, there was lying. Like, Isaac and Abraham both lied to different people, saying that their wives were their sisters. And then...
which isn't weird at all.
And bad stuff happened. And then, Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. And bad stuff happened. And then Joseph and with his brothers, just a lot of tension there and more bad stuff happened.
Mm-hmm. And if you look, it was some of the same stuff that happened, like lying and favoritism, like generation after generation. So there is like, it kind of leads to two larger truths, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Before, like way back when I would read verses like what you find in Exodus 34, where it says, you know, talking about God, he says he punishes the children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation. And I always thought, wow, harsh, you know, like just to hear it that way. But then as I became a middle school counselor, I would have like a parent and a student on the couch, and I'd be talking to both of them, and I would realize this is a whole lot of dysfunction. But I would go, okay, so here's the parent. How was that parent parented? And so I would go, okay, there's one, two generations. I see how the impact has been on the student. And if nothing changes, what is it going to be like if this student ends up having children? And there I looked and I saw four generations in a row just by two people sitting on my couch. So there is the idea, not so much you know, the idea of punishing. I think it's more the consequence as it comes down in family. Like even in my own family, I can see my grandfather was one. He was like very buttoned down. He was a proper British guy, but he was also completely at times gripped by anxiety, which then I saw in turn in my mom. And then I realized that some of the stressors I've had, it's like, okay, wait a minute, that's just coming down the pipe. And now with my kids, I can see the same thing. And there's another four generations of consequence kind of stuff. So just being mindful of that and being aware of it. So that would be the idea of consequences as found in Exodus. The other idea, which is in contrast to this, is that becoming a Christian or entering Christian community is like being in a new family. And in the same way that we have the sometimes the tension with the whole stocking debacle, which wasn't really that big of a deal, it can be like that because we look at Jesus and he had his human family, but he also had his family of believers who were around him, a different community who was also believers. That's Mark 3. In Mark 3, that's the there's a time where Jesus is teaching, hanging out, doing what he does. His mom and some of his brothers show up and they're like, hey, tell Jesus his mom and brothers are here. And then Jesus responds, it's like, about the people who were with him. Here are my mother and my brothers. Well, whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. So while we are learning to do life together as part of Jesus' family, we can take a look and compare that with the family we grew up in and get the idea of seeing and holding on to what's good. And then also perhaps being able to examine some of the stuff that we need to look at otherwise. So what we are going to do now is we are going to start with the genogram. And that's the, that's this side of the sheet.
The family tree.
And then we are going to show a short 6-minute clip of how to fill it out. And then we're going to give you a bit of time to fill it out. Okay. So that's for you to chew on. Like, you know, we gave you like 5 minutes to work on it. You can certainly take it back. You can research more on genograms if it's something that interests you. But keep that as a document, you know, and continue to ponder it as you desire when you don't have midterms and finals and projects, you know, all the other stuff that goes on here. The other piece that we wanted to look at tonight is we wanted to look at the idea of, and it's on the flip side, you guys have already seen it there, which is the idea of unbiblical family commandments. Here's the deal. Going back to the Old Testament, when the people from Israel came out of Egypt, they had been living there for 400 years. Translation, they were Egyptians. They were culturally Egyptians. They were with language Egyptians. The way they handled money, the way they dealt with sexuality, their whole idea about truth and deceit and or marriage, like I said, sexuality, all those things. It was from the paradigm of having been within this culture. So at that point, that's when God gave the Ten Commandments, which was a counterpoint. So we have had, all of us in our families, various commandments that have come up. Whether they were said directly, you guys certainly already mentioned some of them, you know, from having the way you grew up. The reason we bring these up, the reasons we do the genogram is because what we can't learn from the past or what we're unaware of from the past, there's a good chance we'll repeat it unless we become very mindful about it, which is what we're going on with the F word of family tonight. So you can see we have given you this list of various family commandments. These would be, we gave a lot of big areas, and then there's options for what it can look like underneath. Your family may have had something that's none of the above when it came to conflict or relationships or success. But you probably will find something close on the sheet. So again, this is part of what we want to allow you to take a bit of time to ponder, is we'd like you to maybe take a look at, and it's right there on the sheet, two or three of these that you kind of go, oh, that was my family. And then after that, to take a minute or two to take a look at what you would like to change. And again, if you've got 14 things circled, I'm not going to recommend that you would want to tackle all 14 of them. That is crazy making, okay? But you may see something on there that you go, this one is close to home. And so I would urge to even think about one that you might want to change. Okay? So we'll give you now a couple of minutes to look at this, and then we'll say some wrap-up stuff in just a couple of minutes. So hopefully you've had a chance to look at a couple of these things. As we go through this, there's certainly some of those things on there that I've addressed in my family and things that, you know, I have become aware of. Big one for me, for example, when I did this the first time was, you know, in my family, it was about listening to defend or to prove the other person wrong. I'm a counselor. I had to deal with that one. So that was one that was a very hit over the head, obvious one for me to have to put into play. So, you know, maybe there's one here that you're starting to think about what you could do with it. What I would invite you to do, and again, we are trying to be mindful of the time. We don't want to run over and say, this is a little exposition that's going to go till 10:30 tonight because you guys would all run away. What I would like you to do is I'm just going to give you a sentence stem that you can take away and think about later. And it's something along the lines of, as a result of looking at these two things, I'm beginning to realize dot, dot, dot. Now, that may be something you don't want to do here, maybe something you want to think about later. But in the light of doing the genogram and looking at the unbiblical commandments that were here, I am beginning to realize, for me, it was the listening one. I can't be listening to immediately instruct you in your obvious wrongness. Doesn't work in a counseling relationship. Doesn't work in a marriage relationship. Let me tell you that one. You know, so those are things that along the way I realized were instilled in me just by watching my parents talk. So, and this is being recorded. They'll never find it. It's fine. Apparently there's something about fearing my parents too. But anyway, so in the light of this, if you feel so desirous, come back to it later and go, in the light of this, what am I beginning to realize?
So in closing, like, so part of the benefit of doing this is to be able to look at your own behavior and see, look at areas where you find that you react. And like, sometimes something will happen and you kind of get that feeling inside where it's like, oh, where'd that come from? And it, and like, for example, when I was young, as you may have noticed, that Tom's the more outgoing, talkative one of our duo here. And when, and I'm a little, I was growing up, I was quite a bit more shy. And it used to really, really irk me when I'd be in a group and someone would say, oh, Val, why aren't you talking? Oh, cat got your tongue. You know, it's like, oh, you know, it really ticked me off. But, and then so as I grew older, you know, the same thing would happen in a group. I might be quieter and someone would make some comment about me not talking. And it was just like, and sometimes I felt like I was really inputting into the conversation, right? But, you know, I might not have been as talkative as the next person. And yeah, as Tom, I can't match him anyway. So, yeah, so when people said that to me, it's like, okay, what is that inside me? Like that anger or whatever, where does that come from? And just being able to recognize that and then being able to say, okay, what is it that I need to work on here? And to kind of go from there. And so, you know, we looked at the life. Well, we kind of looked at the life of Joseph. Or we talked a little bit
about the generations.
The generations. And, you know, he had a lot of loss and tragedy in his life. And he could have said, you know, my life is ruined. I'm out of here. You know, my family's wrecked me, all those things. But he didn't say that. He was able to change and grow. And God, in his sovereignty, put you in a family as well. And just like he put Joseph in his. And God can work through all different situations and even the really, really horrible situations. And so, you know, just being able to take that to God.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that for a powerful conclusion? So yeah, we just wanted to give you guys a taste of this. Like I said, it is part of a larger curriculum. If it's something you're interested in, watch for emotionally healthy spirituality or emotionally healthy skills. But I just would like to close in prayer and to be able to take some of this kind of academic stuff we've done tonight, but it is hopefully something that will be give you some emotional connection as far as looking at your generations, the family you grew up in, and some of the various things that maybe you become aware of tonight that you hadn't actually thought through before. So I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you that you have placed each of us in the families we're in at this particular time. Give us courage to move from unhealthy patterns that we're starting to recognize, because they block us from experiencing you in your love and in being able to love others as well, or they certainly can. So we pray, God, that you would allow us to see that. And we ask that even though we can't see long-term what's going on as we look at some of our family stuff, I pray that you would show us how to trust you, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph did. And may we become blessings to other people as we allow you to work in our lives. Amen.